How many of you eat dessert before you eat the main course? I mean, sometimes you just sit down to dinner or lunch and there's a brownie there and you think, well, I'm just going to get to that because I like that better than this. You skip over that which might be really, really nutritious to get to what you think you like a little better. I do it all the time. You go to Jason's Deli, they give free ice cream away. I think it's designed for people that actually eat there. But when I get stuff to go, I will load up. I just load up. And by the time I get home, I realize I've had about 3 gallons of ice cream and I haven't even gotten to the main course yet. I skip over getting to what I think is going to be better for me. And sometimes I ignore that which is really maybe even more important, more nutritious, more consequential. Problem is for me, I don't do it just with food. I do it with scripture a lot. And I'll be reading through the Bible and I think, oh, I don't like that part. Let's get to the part I like. All right, who wants to read Leviticus? I mean, who wants to read Numbers, right? Give me the 1 Kings. Give me the 2 Samuel. Give me to the action and the narrative. And I will skip over something of substance and consequence in pursuit of something I think I want a little bit more. There is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to church folk in Rome. And in this letter, at the end of it, there's a wonderful part about dealing with divisive people. That couldn't be more timely, right? And every time I read the 16th chapter of Romans, I want to skip over the first part because I think, well, it's boring and it's just a bunch of names and I can't pronounce them. Let's get to the part about divisive people. And so I leave the whole first section of the 16th chapter of Romans ignored. And on this Mother's Day, I was reading it, and I'm glad I didn't ignore it. Because it turns out that there's something in there that maybe it'll frame up Mother's Day in a way for you, many in the same way it did for me this week, that might give you a new lens, might give you a little more meaning into what this holiday is all about. The Apostle Paul, before he fires off his instruction about dealing with divisive people, tells whoever's reading the letter, I need you to go out in the community and tell a bunch of people hello. Just greet them. And we don't know why Paul does this, but he says, tell them all hello. And that's the part we usually skip over. And I'm going to read it to you because there's something in there that might be helpful. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church. Greet Prissa and Aquila, who work with me in Christ Jesus and who risk their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Greet my beloved Epaphroditus, who was the first convert in Asia for Christ. Greet Mary, who's worked very hard among you. Greet Andronicus. None of you named your kids Andronicus, right? These are names that we don't name our children. And Junia, my relatives who were in prison with me, they're prominent among the apostles. And they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus and Stachys. Greet Apelles. Greet the family of Aristobulus. Greet my relative Herodion. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphania and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who's worked hard in the Lord. And I skip over that every time because I think there can't be much of consequence in there. But there's one line that jumps off the page at me and was almost like an epiphany this week, and that's the next line. He says, greet Rufus. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and greet his mother, a mother to me also. For the first time, looking at that scripture in 50 years, it meant something totally different. Who in the world is Rufus, and why does Paul care about his mama? Why does Paul take time out to say, greet Rufus and his mother? Oh, and by the way, she was like a mother to me also. Wow. What in the world made Paul think that Rufus's mom was like a mom to him? And it occurred to me for the first time in my life that maybe this thing called motherhood has a whole lot more to do than just biology. Maybe it's not just about genetics. Maybe that mother is not just a noun. Maybe it's a verb. And maybe we've been looking at it a little bit askew, and maybe there's a whole lot more to motherhood than meets the eye, and Paul takes time. And one, I think it's fascinating that when Paul talks about the early church, he takes time to list all the women. I mean, that's a starter kit for us right there. It is amazing. It's baffling to me how many thousands of years we have leveraged the Bible to suppress women, particularly in leadership in the church. Paul lists them over and over and over, deacons and apostles and disciples and teachers, women. And he says, before you get to the good stuff, take a minute, find Rufus, tell him I said hi, and tell his mom that I said hi, because she was like a mom to me. I wonder how many people in your life would fill that role. Maybe on Mother's Day, maybe it's your mom, maybe it's your biological mom, but maybe it's just someone who was like a mother to you. Maybe it's time for us to reach out and recognize and give them thanks. I wonder what it was about Rufus's mom that made Paul think she was just like one to me. Don't you have people like that in your life, just like a mother to you, someone who encouraged you, a woman who just encouraged you, and a woman who prayed for you? A woman who lifted you up and who listened to you, and a woman who inspired you to persevere when the chips were down and you thought, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And someone stood in the gap and said, no, yes, you can. And you will, and you are. And someone who believed in you. And maybe there was a lady or a woman who accepted and understood you when nobody else in the world did. I'd like to think that's what Paul was thinking when he made this brief but incredibly important comment. Who comes to mind in your life? Because it's my experience that God uses mothers and women who act like mothers for God's purposes in our life. He certainly has in mind. I have a terrific mother. I'm 50 years old. I need her more today than I've ever needed her before. I love my mother. She has been extraordinarily good to me. But look, sometimes over the years, I've needed someone else. A woman who acted like a mother, who was like a mother. I think of one of my best friends and his mom. And I would have topics that, as much as I love my mom and as close as we were, they were just a little too embarrassing to talk to her. So I'd go to Miss Hartner, and she'd sit down and visit with me. She was, like Paul says, she was like a mom to me. I think about June Moore. She's here today. I think about the time my family was so mired in addiction, and everyone's off at rehab, and I'm at home celebrating Christmas all by myself as a 15, 16-year-old boy. June Moore reaches out and says, why don't you come share it with us? That's like a mom to me. There are people in our lives that stand in and they're just like a mom to us. And Paul says, I don't want to get to the good stuff until we've done the right stuff, the real stuff. Find Rufus, tell him I said hi, and track down his mama and tell her she was just like a mama to me. So I read this and I thought, who's Rufus? Who's Rufus? Who's Rufus? I got a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's no Rufus. Who's Rufus, right? And there is a Rufus, right? If you back up in Scripture in the Gospel of Mark, we meet a guy named Simon of Cyrene. Now, some of you may know who Simon of Cyrene is. Simon of Cyrene is the ultimate example of the wrong guy at the wrong place in the wrong time. Right? He's an innocent bystander. He had gone to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and as it turns out, they were about to crucify Jesus. And Jesus, is having been beaten within an inch of his life and whipped and scourged and tortured, is now carrying his own cross to Calvary. But he gets to a place where he collapses and he can carry his cross no longer. And coincidentally, the Roman soldiers reach out to a guy named Simon of Cyrene and they say, you carry it the rest of the way. And so Simon steps in the gap and he picks up the cross, and all we know is that he knew nothing about Jesus before that moment, and yet he takes the cross for Jesus to Calvary. And Mark takes care to tell us that Simon of Cyrene was the father of Rufus. So maybe it was Mrs. Simon of Cyrene that Paul is talking about. It's possible that the mom that Paul is referencing is the wife of the one who carried the cross for Jesus. Christ meant something different to Simon and his wife. Why is Paul so sentimental about Mrs. Simon of Cyrene? And we get that a lot around here. We say, yeah, Paul's Mother's Day is not even a religious holiday, and we're just too sentimental about it, and there's all kind of moms, and you can't cover everybody, and I don't know if we should be so sentimental. Let me just say, I think at Mother's Day a little bit of sentiment is healthy, and it's more than appropriate. I think back to Exodus. Honor your mother so that you may live long in the Lord. It is the only one of the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. And you know what the promise is? It'll add days to your life. You can't think of a reason to honor your mom? Do it, because it'll add days to your life. Honor your mother. That doesn't mean you have to endorse her behavior. That doesn't mean you have to invite her over, right? Honor your mother. You thank God that without her, you wouldn't have drawn a single breath. It'll add days to your life. I think it's an important promise. I don't think it's just sentimental. I remember the time when Jesus, think about this, Jesus interrupted dying to take care of his mom. He's on the cross. He interrupts the process of death. He says, John, I'm going to entrust the care of my mama to you. I think it's okay that we get a little bit sentimental on Mother's Day. Now look, the Bible doesn't idealize moms. The Bible's real about moms. Every category of mom the Bible deals with, good moms, bad moms. There are folks like Jezebel and Herodias who had John the Baptist beheaded. But come on, those are the exceptions. Most of the moms do the right thing, and they deserve recognition. So today, just in our brief time together, I'd like to join the Apostle Paul, and I'd like to salute the moms who are with us, and I'd like to salute anyone out there who was like a mom to me and was like a mom to you. There's a reason that Paul did this, and I wrestled all week thinking, why was he so committed to recognizing Rufus's mom? I think, for starters, she must have had a tenacious love. I don't know that, but that's what I believe about good moms. Don't good moms have a tenacious love? I mean a tenacious love. They get after it. They're committed. They're consistent. They show up. Look, it is my experience. It is not empirical. It is not scientific, but I'm telling you, sick rooms wear out fathers a whole lot faster than mamas. I've been to a lot of hospitals, and the dads are pacing, and they got to come, and they got to go, and they got to go check email, and they got to leave, and they got to die. Not the moms. They're on lockdown. I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating. I'm here. Moms, stick it out. There is a bulldogness about moms, a tenacious way of loving. I've seen it in my own life with my own mother. I've seen it at home with Ashley and the way she takes care of our children. I remember when my oldest was born. He had colic. Everybody thinks their baby has colic. My child is in the Guinness Book of World Record for colic, for yelling, for screaming. All he did was scream at the top of his ever-living lungs, all the time. And you could not calm him down. And you never could sleep. And we're up all night. It's 4 a.m. The only thing that broke possibly calm him down, you put him in that little carrier and weighed about 1,000,000 pounds, and you'd have to swing it. You'd have to swing it, you know, swing it. And he'd shut up for about 1 second, you know. And one night, it's the middle of the night, 3 or 4 a.m, we're just up all night screaming, and Ashley said, I got to get some sleep. I said, okay, I got it. You get. So she goes back in the back bedroom, not even the master bedroom, the back bedroom, like Fort Knox, locked down, locked the door, put, you know, everything. She's sound asleep, and I'm out there swinging, you know, swinging. And you only got so much rotor cuff mobility. And as soon as I'd stop, he started screaming every time. And it's a true story. Like that week, we lived in Plano. There was something on the news. They had passed a new ordinance. And I'm not in any way trying to diminish the significance of the ordinance. Very, actually, very important. They call it the Moses Law. And you can take your child to the local fire station and not go to prison, right? That's the goal. And I'm swinging him, and every time I stop, he'd cry, and just under my breath, I mean, I didn't even really mean to say it, but under my breath, it's like a whisper. I said, one more peep out of you, and we're going to hook and ladder number 17. And I'm telling you, I don't know what kind of supersonic bionic hearing she had, but out of that back bedroom, the door flies open, right? Here comes Mama Bear down the hallway. Don't you ever say something like that about our child. That's tenacious love, right? That's what mamas have. It's a story in the Old Testament. It's kind of obscure. You may have overlooked it a million times too. There's a woman named Rizpah. And Rizpah was not a very nice woman, but it turns out not being a nice woman does not disqualify you from being a mom. And Rizpah has two children illegitimately with Saul. And when David ascended to the throne, he had the two children executed. And then he had them displayed as kind of an object lesson to the community in the public gallows by hanging and said, nobody is to touch them. And Rizpah, their mama, Bible tells us she went, sat beneath their bodies for 5 months. She chased off the jackals at night and the vultures by day. 5 months. David was so moved by the tenacity of this vigil that he decides to go personally and take the bodies down and give them a proper burial. Now, it doesn't make the story a whole lot better, but what it suggests is that moms, through their tenacious love, have an unbelievable capacity to change the way that we think and feel about each other. It's unique to mamas. They often alter the way we feel, the way we behave, the way we believe, the way we love. And David was changed by watching this mom and her tenacious love. I'm convinced that whatever Rufus's mom did, she was tenacious in her love for Paul. I think she had great influence on Paul's life. I don't know that. But I'm convinced Rufus's mom had great influence on Paul's life. Mamas have great influence, right? Sometimes good, sometimes bad, but you cannot underestimate the influence that your mom has on you. And think about who influenced Jesus the most. His mama. I'm not to diminish Joseph. If Joseph lived a longer life, maybe we'd be talking about him as much as well. We don't know, but I can tell you this. Jesus' maturity was not complete upon his birth. His mama was with him. She molded him and shaped him, and Mary loved him unconditionally. And there's that wonderful scripture in John where the scripture just says something real simple. Jesus' mother was there. They're at a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. She was always there molding and instructing and teaching and influencing and shaping influence. You cannot understand a person until you understand their past. And you cannot understand their past until you understand their mama. John Wesley. What made John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist way of living and discipleship, John Wesley? You can't understand John Wesley unless you understand his mama, Susanna. Abraham Lincoln, what made him so courageous and strong at some of the nation's toughest times in our history? Abraham Lincoln would tell you, you know who it was? His mom. And when she died, you know who it was? It was somebody that was like his mom, his stepmom. Over and over and over in Lincoln's writing, he is saying, I could not do what I do without the influence of my mom. There's not a person sitting here today that hadn't been influenced 1,000 ways or more by your mom. Maybe on this Mother's Day, we just take a look at the good ones. I know there are probably some shortcomings in there. There's no doubt about it. I knew if I heard your story, you say, well, Paul, but you don't, I'm telling you, you wouldn't be here without your mom. She's influenced you in significant ways. Maybe we just use Mom's Day to recognize that. Maybe it's not your biological mom. Maybe it's someone who was a lot like your mom. I'm convinced Rufus. Rufus's mom was tenacious in her love for Paul. I'm convinced she had huge influence. And the final thing that I'm pretty convinced of, I don't know that I can prove it, but I think that wherever Rufus's mom was for Paul, that's where home was. You say, well, Paul, how can you say that? You don't know that where Rufus's mom was, that's where home was. Wherever mama is, that's where home tends to be. Later in the book of Acts, we learn that Simon, probably the same Simon of Cyrene that carried Jesus' cross, the same one who was the father of Rufus, the same one married to Mrs. Simon of Cyrene, he was a teacher in Antioch. We know that from the scriptures. And Antioch's the first place that Paul went to when he left home. When he left his beloved home of Tarsus, he goes first to Antioch. He is away from home for the first time in his life, and I'm telling you, it was where Rufus's mom was that made it home for him, and it might be even worse. The scriptures remind us that when Paul converted to Christianity, you got to remember, he came out of a family that were rabid Pharisees. They hated Christians. He tells us in Philippians that his conversion to Christ, he had to leave a lot of things behind, including his family. He lists his family as one of the things that he had to surrender and give up to follow Christ. I can only imagine how angry his mom must have been when he told her what he was doing. Paul writes 13 letters, two-thirds of the New Testament. Isn't it odd that he doesn't mention his mom not a single time? Not one time. But he references Rufus's mom. And I think that's because that's where he felt at home. He's away from home for the first time. He's single. He's poor. He's struggling. It's painful. There's a high probability that his mom had cut him loose because of his conversion to Christianity. I'm telling you, I think in my heart of hearts, it was Rufus's mom who made him feel at home. More often than not, in your life and mine, wherever mom is, there's some part of us that feels like that's home. Moms have an irreplaceable ability to comfort. A lot like mom. You know who else is a lot like mom? We'll wrap with this. God. We don't often think like that, right? We use father so much, and we should. So often the scripture compares God to a loving father. We understand that, but we wear that language out. Do you know there's just as many scriptures that talk about God through the eyes of a mom? Turns out God's love for us is a lot like moms. Hosea 13:8. God describing himself, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. Like a lion, I will devour them. A wild animal will tear them. That's like Ashley, right? That's like Ashley. You say something bad about one of our children and mama bear. Hosea says that's what God's love is like. Isaiah, God compared to a nursing mother. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child? No, neither can I. That's how God describes God's love. It is like that of a mama. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted as a mother comforts her child. We see this language over and over and over. In Matthew, God describes his love like a mother's hen. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Maybe it's okay to be a little bit sentimental one time a year about our mamas. And if not our mamas, maybe somebody who is a whole lot like mom. So I say on Mother's Day 2018, we go all in. And like Paul, we lift up our mothers. Or maybe someone who was just like a mother to me. Let's pray. Gracious God, We give you thanks and praise. While we may sometimes struggle in our relationships with our mom, we confess that we would not be here without them, and they have influenced us more than we care to acknowledge. Would you help us today, Lord, to dig deep down in our souls, to find it in our spirit of grace to honor our mothers? And in particular today, Lord, help us to honor those who, like Rufus's mom, were just like a mother to us. In your Son's holy and mighty name we pray. Amen.